leading up to my surgery because I was gaslighting myself so much. Like, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe I don't need it because it felt like such a big permanent change, which it is such a big permanent change. But it felt so like scary and intimidating. And I was trying to like record every time that I was just like so miserable and was like, okay, if I had an ostomy in this moment, would my life be better?
Okay, so I forgot to record the intro, so here's a really low quality intro to get us started. But don't worry, you can look forward to an equally low quality outro. Welcome back to the Chronically Positive Podcast. In today's episode, I'm thrilled to be joined by Taylor Gechtau, a passion advocate and content creator in the disability and chronic illness community. Taylor's journey began in 2016 on Musical.ly, now on TikTok, where she combined her love for ASL and music with education and awareness. Over the years, she's used her platform to raise awareness about living with multiple chronic illnesses. Taylor opens up about navigating multiple intersecting identities, finding connection in the chronic illness community, and how her recent surgery has transformed her quality of life. This conversation is insightful and full of heart. Whether you're part of the chronic illness community or simply here to learn, Taylor's story will leave you feeling seen and inspired. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good, how are you? Thank you for
Good.
being on the show.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Of course. So tell me about yourself.
Hi, my name's Taylor. I'm 25 years old. My pronouns are she, her. I am a white woman with like little past the shoulder, short brown hair. I am disabled and I have a lot of, identities that go into just who make like what who I am as a person, what makes me who I am. I wear a lot of different hats and I do a lot of different things, and one of them is social media and disability advocacy, which is how we met, is through social
Yes.
media. So that's super cool. So yeah.
Thank you. So, with your social media advocacy, what are you doing?
I actually started my like social media kind of advocacy journey back all the way to 2016 on
Wow.
Musical.ly, before it was TikTok, before it was cool,
No
when everybody made
way.
fun of me. Yeah, like if you scroll back far enough on my TikTok, you'll find some cringy 2016 videos. It was really bad, but yeah, it was
Wait.
before it was like cool. Like everyone like made fun of me for it, and now I'm like, now you all want to be on here, and you're gonna be sad when it's gone, you know?
Gosh,
But I
that's so
started
funny.
it like for like more ASL and deaf community focused because it was like obviously musically based at that point, like it was based in music. And so I did a lot of like signing songs and a lot of like educational stuff. And then at the same kind of time that that was kind of ramping up and more people started joining, I was also getting more into just like the disability community. I've been chronically ill my whole life, but I didn't like realize the extent of like my identity in being disabled until like going into like 2019, 2020. So I started kind of combining all of that on my TikTok, and then I created another Instagram that I had intended as like a diary, like a journal for myself to kind of like keep track of everything. And once I realized that a lot of people could relate to what I was talking about and that I had an opportunity to like do more educational like awareness and like connect with people, I kind of switched from like a personal diary of like just like spilling all of my own stuff to what I do now. And so I have this like cool niche of like deaf disabled, because that's like an identity in itself, is like capital D deaf and then capital D disabled, like as one word. And so that's like also how I identify. So this like niche kind of group of like deaf disabled. So I try and like, make my videos accessible. Like I sign in my videos when I can, when talking about disability stuff. And yeah, so, and then also like the ostomy community, because I have an ostomy, and like that is such a niche community too. So I feel like I'm in like all these little niche corners, and then being able to like intersect them is super cool.
That is so cool. And for those who don't know you, what do you deal with?
I always say that my main like thing is Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which a lot of people are like know what that is now, which is super cool. That is what caused my hearing loss. That is what has caused like a lot of my stuff. That's what I say like my main thing is. So, EDS, POTS, MCAS, that whole realm of stuff. But I also have like the vascular compressions and like the GI issues, and I have like a more rare presentation where my stomach, small intestine, and large intestine have all prolapsed in my body. And so that is what contributed to kind of my GI tract not working and having to get my ostomy bag. So that was from EDS as well. But I've had like other, you know, random things that kind of just like, that's why I like feel like I branch out in so many different areas. But it's like, I want to have like one specific thing, you know, but I also talk about like women's health and endometriosis a lot, because endometriosis is something, again, that like is prevalent in my everyday life.
Yes.
And that has a high prevalence with EDS as well. And I was also recently like late diagnosed autistic. So again, like the research has shown that EDS and autism have a very high correlation. I was diagnosed with ADHD a few years ago as well. So I'm in like, you know, all of the little corners and meet all so many cool people and all the different little, and it's cool to see like how all of the things intersect.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great that you have to deal with all these things, but you know how a lot of different people feel.
Right. Yes. So, yes. And it's like really cool. being able to relate to so many different people. And like, I always say that it kind of sucks that like, that's how you meet, because a lot of like the best people that I've met have been through social media or, you know, disability, chronic illness community. So it sucks that that's how we met, but also at the same time, that's how we met. That's like kind of cool that we can relate. Like, I feel like that's such like an intimate way to relate to people. Absolutely. That you don't get to relate to people in often your real life. Like that's why the online community was created, because you can feel so isolated like in your day-to-day life.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what this podcast is about, finding people and connecting and building this community and showing that just because people have chronic illnesses doesn't mean that we're just sitting around doing nothing. We're raising awareness, we're helping other people feel seen. So correct me if I'm wrong, your colostomy is fairly new-ish?
Yeah, I'm only 6 months post-op. I actually have an ileostomy. So there's colostomy and ileostomy. Okay, yes. Ileostomy is the small intestine. Colostomy is the large intestine.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm 6 months post-op. So yeah, fairly new, fairly recent. Although at the same time, maybe it's because like it's changed my quality of life for the better so much, but I have a really hard time imagining life before it, you know? I just imagine like how like painful and miserable I was, but I feel like it's become so ingrained in my routine that I feel like I've had it a lot longer than I actually have, which I guess is a huge blessing, because I would hate to be like miserable and like, you know, at odds with this thing that I'm going to have for the rest of my life. So
it's really been helpful, I'm hearing.
Oh yeah. It's been kind of night and day. Like it truly did change so many things for me, and I had a hard time even recognizing how miserable I was before surgery, and it is almost until I'm on the other side of it and I'm reflecting back and being like, wow, that actually was pretty bad. Like, I can't believe that I was living like that for so long. Like, now that I'm better, and I like watching old content and videos that I made about, and that was something I tried to do leading up to my surgery, because I was gaslighting myself so much. Like, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe I don't need it, because it felt like such a big permanent change, which it is such a big permanent change, but it felt so like scary and intimidating. And I was trying to like record every time that I was just like so miserable and was like, okay, if I had an ostomy in this moment, would my life be better, to be able to like reflect. And if I start to gaslight myself, be like, okay, this is what you were like. And even when it gets hard, like now when I have it, like it isn't all sunshine and rainbows all the time.
Yeah.
It has made my life so, so much better, but sometimes I get kind of frustrated with it, you know?
Sure,
and so I'll come across the videos from beforehand and I'm like, okay, but I could be back to that. Like, I could be that person still. And I would so much rather take what I'm dealing with now, which is so minute compared to what I was before.
Yeah. I think that's really important. I think especially people listening who might be going through something similar. I think with any big medical change, I think at least myself, I have 100% gaslit myself into, do I actually need to be put on heart meds? Do I like these big things are scary.
Yeah.
And with so many people telling us that for long periods of times of our life saying that nothing is wrong with you. I mean, I'm not sure if that happened to you, but
it's in your head.
Assume that it may have happened.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important, and I'm really glad that you shared that. So thank you.
Yeah. That's something that I hear super frequently with endometriosis too, because the only way to definitively diagnose endometriosis is through a laparoscopic surgery. And so a lot of people are like, what if I get surgery and they don't find anything? Like, what if, like, that possibility is so scary. I also experienced that, like, committing to a surgery where they're going into your body to potentially find nothing is very scary. And it's just, like, hard to let yourself be, one, okay with going through with that. And, like, having people, especially as women or people assigned female at birth, being told, like, that your pain is normal or that it's just in your head. And then you're finally given an opportunity to, then you just, like, all the things that you've been told for years and years and years just get to you. So I get it. It's really hard.
It is really hard. I'm going through something similar right now, debating on getting a procedure. And it's just, I feel like it's just this internal battle that's just very hard to fight. So you have a small business?
Very small business. So I started making the ostomy bag covers even before I had surgery, because I knew that I was going to need something for myself after surgery to become okay with what I was about to go through and how my body was going to change. And I did a few other things, like, before surgery too. Like, I was able to get samples of bags to, like, stick on and, like, be able to get used to seeing my body just, like, having a bag without anything in it, you know, so it wasn't this, like, dramatic change. But then I got to have, again, samples of bags and measure them to practice making covers. And I I had sewn maybe a few times ever in my life. I still had my sewing machine that my grandma got me in, like, 2015 for $5 at a yard sale. Okay. So listen, I was not an expert whatsoever. Definitely forgot to account for a lot of things when I made my first covers for myself, but we've improved and we've learned. But I was able to take the covers I had made for myself to the hospital after my surgery. So after surgery, they put you in clear bags. Like, right now, the bags that I wear, you can't see through them.
Right.
But they put you in clear bags after surgery because they want to be able to, like, monitor your output, make sure that, one, you're having output, that it's not, like, too bloody, stuff like that. But it's so hard mentally to see this stuff coming out into a bag, like, when you're freshly post-op, and then you can see your stoma through the bag, and it's, like, usually pretty swollen because you literally just got cut open and your insides are now on the outside.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot to take in all at once, especially just waking up from a surgery, I assume.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't look at my bag or my stoma for, I want to say, like, at least 3 days after surgery, because I just, like, was not ready. I thought that I was going to be, and I got there and I wasn't. Like, I came out of surgery and I had my husband and my friend Emma, they, like, took pictures of it, but I wasn't ready to see it.
Yeah.
I, like, had the nurses emptying my bag for me. Like, I'd call the nurses and be like, oh, my bag needs emptied, even though I totally could have done it on my own, but I just wasn't ready.
It's so understandable. Yeah.
Exactly. So once I finally, you know, looked at it and I was more, like, up and walking around, it was hard to see my output and everything in my bag. But if I wanted to put on an opaque bag, like one that you can't see through, we would have had to, like, change my whole appliance. And I'm, like, literally so new at this and I can't do it by myself.
Yeah.
So I just put on some of the covers that I made. And when I was packing my bag, I was like, should I even bring these? Like, I'm probably not going to feel up to putting these on. And I'm so glad that I did, because one, the nurses loved them. Two, I loved them. And three, it made me feel so much better mentally, even being in the hospital, to not have to look at my own poop that was hanging in a bag outside of my body. So super glad that I did that. And my ostomy nurse, we got to, like, talking about it. And I was like, what if I made some covers and was, like, able to donate them to, like, the ostomy clinic? And so we, like, talked about that, and I was like, what if I make them for other people? Like, what if it's not just, like, to donate to my one little clinic? Like, what if I can make it for other people? So I started, you know, actually figuring out how to make them quality, because before I was just making them for myself, and if they came out a little wonky, I didn't really matter. So I started, you know, figuring out like how to actually make them like quality and symmetrical and do all the things correctly.
Yeah.
And I got like a good little stockpile, and my sister is actually like a branding, like marketing person. Like she mm-hmm. like helps people create brands.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, will you help me brand this like idea that I have for these ostomy covers? And so we were camping over the summer, and I'm like sitting, listen, we're like 3 hours away from civilization. We have no electricity except for some solar panels and like a little chargeable battery. And I plugged my old ass sewing machine into it, and I'm sewing covers in the middle of the woods. I have like pictures of it. Like
that sewing is covers. So cool. Oh my gosh, you're so cool. I would never in a million years think of doing that. That is so funny. Oh my God.
One of the ladies in the camping spot next to us, she was like walking by like an awkward amount of times, kind of like looking. And eventually she came up, she's like, are you sewing? And I'm like, yeah, I am actually. So that was really cool.
That's but, so cool.
I was doing that. And then we had a Starlink, which is like Wi-Fi that you can bring anywhere, you know? Uh-huh. And so my sister was like, you know, drawing out on her like iPad and everything, like these designs, and we're like coming up with the design and everything. And it was just like so fun to be able to do it with my sister and bond over that. And then when I got home, I was like, okay, I'm also a professional photographer. So I have a professional camera, mm-hmm. and I just like laid out this like nice sheet that my parents had. And I gave my camera to my sister, and I put on some of the covers, and I'm like, I just need you to take pictures of me wearing these covers that I can use to like advertise, right? So we took some pictures, and I was like, okay, launch date is in a week, sure. And I just like started the Instagram and the Etsy, and I had no idea what I was doing, and launched it. And I got my first day, like on launch day, I got like 7 orders, which
that's I was huge. Like, no, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Thank you. I went to the post office, I'm not even kidding, 5 times that day, because every order I'd be like, I need to put this in the mail now. You know,
meeting, I know that feeling. Over. It's like right away.
Yes. But then I got another order at the so I like went to the post office 5 times that day. But I was just so excited. And another thing that I really prioritize with my ostomy like brand is secondhand, because something that a lot of people with ostomy say is that their ostomy bag saved their life, gave them a second chance at life. Because a lot of people with bags have like irritable bowel disease. Mm-hmm. They were literally dying, right?
Yeah.
From malnutrition, starvation, stuff like that. And so I was like, well, you know, your bag gave you a second chance at life. What if I use like secondhand and thrifted fabrics and almost like kind of metaphorically give those a second chance at life too.
I love that.
Because the very first fabrics that I found, like the ones I made for myself, was like a scrap from some bed sheets I got at Target, but I loved the pattern. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm going to make a cover out of this. And then we went to like some random thrift store, and I found like the cutest set of like 5 different floral fabrics. So I was like, I can thrift fabric. Like, why not thrift fabric?
Right, yeah.
And so every single cover that I've made to this day has all been from secondhand fabrics, either thrifted mm-hmm. or Facebook Marketplace, or some have actually been donated by other people like in the community. Like one girl, she was like, I bought all this fabric that I literally haven't touched in 3 years. I would love for it to go back to the community in some way. And so she just donated a bunch of fabric, which was amazing.
That's so cool. So, wow.
Yeah. That also adds like an extra layer of like
totally.
Just, yeah, I love
community
it.
Community coming together. So oh, fun. I love it. I love it yeah. so much. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's been super fun and going. I love thrifting. So being able to like go and find fabrics. Somehow the thrift gods have blessed me with some of the like most beautiful fabric. I don't even know. I went to Joann's and I was like, oh, maybe I can find. Do you know how expensive fabric is? It's so expensive.
It's ridiculous. Oh my gosh.
I was like,
I love Joann's though. I could spend hours at Joann's.
No, I spent so much time. I was carrying so many things of fabric. I started seeing signs of like $39 per yard. And I'm like, hold on a second. And I like looked at the ones I was carrying. I was like, I'm putting these back. Like, I was like, I will actually stick to my thrifted fabric, and yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, if you don't, do you have any, like, right by you that we could look at, or?
I actually grabbed them.
Oh my gosh, yes. We will describe what they look like to people who are not watching the video version of this.
Thank you. Well, I'm wearing one right now. It's just, like, a little brown one.
Oh, I love that.
You know, match my little brown flannel.
Oh, it's so cute. So... flannel. I love that.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'm wearing that one. I also have a few. I'm going to shout out another Ostomy cover company, Ostomy Fashion by Paula Sojo. She's also amazing, and I have some of her covers. And I, like, organized a bunch of
them. Oh, my gosh.
These are all the ones that I have. So, yeah, I started out with a lot of just, like, plain... Actually, let me show you the ones, like, the very first floral ones that I found. I think I've only made 3 out of the fabrics that I found that one day. This is one of my favorites.
Ooh, I love that.
It's hard to, like, see the colors.
Is that, like, a sage green with a fabric?
It's like a design?
A teal?
It's like a teal, dark blue, and orange, kind of.
Oh, I'm far away from my screen, too, so I'll have to look later.
Yeah, up close.
So but, are these yours, then, or are these on your, like, site for sale?
These are the ones that I have, like, kept for myself.
Okay.
So that's the fun, but also probably a little bit frustrating about the ones that I sell, is that once I run out of the fabric, I can't get it again, because it's secondhand.
One of a kind, yeah.
So once, you know, once it's run out on my site, then... Like, that's all. But that's also kind of fun for the people that get it, because that's literally, like, one-of-a-kind covers, you know?
No, that's really special. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this one, it's, like, little bumblebees. And
oh, it's so cute. I buy so many things with bees on them. I'm kind of a freak.
I know. Me too.
But I'm so afraid
of
bees.
I have a bee tattoo. Oh,
do you really?
I do, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love it. So, this one, and then only 2 others exist, because I only had that much fabric.
Okay.
So super fun. So this one was another pattern that I got that one day, like, that I started thrifting. And then this one too, this is, like, a lot of different colors, but florals. I have just so many, like, plain kind of neutral colored ones. And then I even made this one, this design, which I haven't seen anyone make it. This is, like, half, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my idea behind it was for, like, sexy time, spicy time.
Oh.
So that you can fold your bag in half and have, because let me just show you on, like, on the bags, at least my brand, they have, like, a Velcro. So I can fold my bag up in half. I mean, can't keep it like that forever, because I need room, you know, for output. But, you know, if you're wanting to, like, have a little bit of intimate time, you fold it in half to kind of keep it out of the way.
Yeah.
And then you can put a little cover over it so that it's not in the way, and so that you don't get anything on your actual bag, because these are washable.
Right.
So that was another thing that I came up with, but... Yeah, I just have found, this was the one out of the Target sheets that I, like, made for myself. So I, for sure, the sheets on my bed right now are literally this.
Matchy, matchy.
Yeah. And then sometimes I have so little of a fabric that I get to kind of mix and match. So this I, like, found. And then this was, like, a strip of yellow donated. But they match, like, there's yellow in that.
Oh, it works perfectly.
And then do it on the back.
Oh, I love that.
And then sometimes I just, like, play around. Stretchy fabrics are not great, but I just was like, why not, you know, play around and have fun with it. But I get to just, like, there's so many fun. This was, like, a little Christmassy
stripes.
More, I'm really drawn to florals, if you can't
tell. I love florals. You can't go wrong
with florals. Yeah. I love florals. This was, like, a skirt that I thrifted at Goodwill. Turned it into... a bag. This is also one of my first ones, you can tell, because it's a little lopsided, but that's okay. So yeah, this is, I just love, I thrifted a real leather, I forgot what the brand was, but it was like a real leather vest, but it was too big, and the extra I like made a matching cover to go with it. So this is like a real leather cover.
Oh, no way, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So really, you can do it with a whole lot of stuff. So
I love that. I love how each cover has like its own story and adventure that it's been on. Yeah. That's so fun.
Yeah. No, it's so fun. And I get to be so creative, but I also hope that, you know, each person that gets the covers, they like are able to find their own sense of like inspiration in their fashion with it. Some of the covers, if I have extra fabric, but I can't make another cover out of it, I've actually made matching cane straps, like straps for my canes. So I have like one strap for a cane that matches this cover. So like one day I could like wear this cover and then have my like matching little strap with it.
I love that. That's so, you're so creative. Yeah. We think very similarly. That's so cool. And what I really love, you said this a while back, I really love that you started this even before you went through the process of having surgery. I think that the fact that like you were already like going in that direction is just, it really shows what kind of person you are, how positive you, and like when I say positive, and I keep repeating myself, I don't mean like just like suck it up and enjoy what you have, but like just like turning just something that should suck into like, okay, how can I be so creative and help other people and myself before you've gone through it. Like, that's huge. And I, not a lot of people can get there, because I mean, I didn't get there. I wasn't creative right out of the bat. Like, it took me a long time to get to that creativity. And I just love that your brain was like, no, we're just going to prepare ourselves and we're going to make cute things and we can have a great old time being all cute.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I wouldn't even consider myself like a optimist, really. Like, yeah. I feel like, you know, being a positive person and optimist can be two different things, but a lot of people associate them with the same.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And I am like totally the type of person where I will be like crying and like allowing myself to sit in whatever emotions I'm feeling about my ostomy while I'm sewing some of the covers. Like, I feel like those two things can coexist.
Absolutely.
And I can still be grieving, you know, whatever's going on, but continuing forward and making a difference in my own life and in other people's. So I really appreciate like that whole, your whole message that you're trying to send, and really resonate with that, because I definitely will sit there and cry and feel what I need to feel, but you best bet that I'm going to keep finding a way to spread some sort of awareness or some sort of something out to the world.
Exactly.
So, thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not just going to shut down and be like, all right, this is my life. Oh, well.
Yeah. I was determined. And, you know, the stigma around ostomy bags, I had so many, even doctors be like, are you sure you want to do that? That's like so gross. And like, just like the stigma around bags. And
they literally
like,
used
so
those
young.
Words. A physician said gross.
Yeah. And a nurse.
I'm sorry. That's terrible.
And then they'll like tell me all of their like horrible ostomy bag stories when they're like taking care of like an elderly patient who has a bag, you know, and I just was like almost like trying to like scare me out of it. And I'm like, it's not really a choice at this point. So what's your goal here? So I was just like so determined to basically prove them wrong. Like, I'm not just going to like let these providers sit here and think that I'm just like ruining my life by doing what's best for my body. So I love to walk into my doctor's offices with a little crop top and some low rise pants showing off my ostomy bag cover.
Oh,
and they're like, oh, cute, what's that? And I get to tell them all about it. And I get to donate them to the hospital. So it's really great.
And tell them, actually, my life is 100 times better because I did this. Thank you very much.
Yep exactly.
That's really terrible that, I mean, I've had doctors say some pretty terrible things to me, but that's just like so unprofessional. And like to talk about like a medical procedure like that is just,
yeah.
And obviously you're not like, oh, I want to get this done because I just want to get it done for fun. Like, you're talking about it because it's not really a choice that you have. Like,
right. And so much like I wish they could see behind the scenes of like all of the hard conversations I had with my husband, like all of the like tears that I cried over grieving the life that I knew before. Like, that's the thing, is that that's what doctors don't see. They just see you coming into the office and then me saying, oh, well, I'm going to have this procedure, you know, and they get to give their two cents and don't really consider how it might affect the patient. And you know, that sucks that that's like what we have to take from that. But being able to turn it into something more is a whole nother thing that they have zero control over. So
absolutely. Yeah. And that kind of brings me to, I wanted to start a new segment, finding your new normal. So yes, we've kind of learned about how you've been navigating, but what are some things that have helped you? Obviously you've had this recent big change for you. Mm-hmm. What are some ways or tips or things that have worked for you in finding your new normal?
Literally just being open to experimenting with things, yeah, and kind of being okay with something like being a huge fail. Like going, I mean, I got my ostomy bag at the very end of May, going into summer, right? When you're, yeah, supposed to be going swimming, going camping, wearing swimsuits, all of the things. And I was like, how in the world am I supposed to be recovering from surgery, enjoy my summer, and then be okay with my body and what it is looking like now? So I literally just had to figure it out as I went. Like I started off with like one or two nights away from home in like an Airbnb to be like, okay, I am feeling comfortable, you know, being away from my home where all of my like comfort things are. Obviously you can take them with you, but I learned in that time, like I need to pack more supplies because I didn't have enough, you know, or I need to, you know, bring certain things with me. And then going like swimming for the first time or the beach for the first time, I'm like, what kind of swimsuit do I want to wear? Do I want to keep my bag tucked in or out? If I'm at the beach, how am I going to empty my bag? Like different stuff like that. And through the community, you will get a lot of good tips and tricks and you will get a lot of good experiences. And then, you know, going camping, like that camping trip that we took, we had no running water. So I had to be like, okay, how, like at home, I have this like nice long spigot in my bathroom sink. So I like to empty my bag and then rinse it and then, you know, pour that out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do that out camping. No. So how am I going to do this? You know, but I actually ended up liking the outhouse because I got to just like stand over it and empty and I didn't have to worry about cleaning the toilet after, you know, so
there you go.
It's, you just have to kind of figure it out. And if you have other people ahead of you who have kind of figured that out, then you're super, super lucky. But if not, then you get to pave the way and educate people at the same time. So that was like another thing that I was kind of scared about was talking to my friends and family about this change. Because from the outside, it looked like it probably happened pretty quickly. From like the time I met with my doctor and then getting the bag. But even though it was like a long, like lifelong journey up till this point. So, you know, I see some like kind of distant family members 6 months ago. And then the next month or the next time I see them, I like have a bag and they're like, what the heck happened?
You know? Yeah.
So that's kind of like a hard conversation to go through, but just like finding what you're comfortable with. And yeah, the new normal is definitely strange at first, but I found that I actually adapted pretty well, which I think I'm very lucky that I had like such an easy transition.
Yeah.
But I also tried to do like as many things as possible even beforehand, like making the covers and wearing the fake bag for a while to like get myself used to what my new normal will be.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I remember you posting a video about you trying before you even got it done. And I was like, that's really interesting. Yeah. So it's like not this shock. And I don't think a lot of people think to do that. I mean, I don't think I would have, I would have thought to do that.
I think people don't know that it's an option. Like, I had a hard time with even knowing like the companies that I can reach out to get, cause there's like so many different just bag companies, like the product companies. And, you have to like figure out which companies and brands work for you and which ones, like some people have issues with like reacting, like their skin reacting to some, but not others.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know like all of the different companies, which I have now created. I created like a Google Doc, like a template basically of like, here's everything you need to know if you're about to get an ostomy. Like,
oh wow.
Here's people to reach out to. Here's all the numbers. Here's like the forms you can fill out. Here's like what you should ask your nurse or your surgeon. Do the trial bag, get the covers, like all of these things, because you kind of feel lost for a little bit unless you like have But even I was like in all the support groups on Facebook and I still was like kind of lost. And so I can't even imagine if people have literally nowhere to start. There's some people that go to the ER for abdominal pain and they go into surgery and they wake up with a bag. Like that I'm sure has to be so jolting, you know?
Absolutely. Going back to that whole document that you made, that I can tell you people love that. Like when I was first diagnosed with POTS, and I, before I even really started, my channel first was just kind of updating my friends what was going on with me. It had nothing to do about raising awareness. I was just kind of tired of giving updates. Yeah. And I tried to, I don't know, I wanted to be kind of creative in a way. But somebody posted this massive Google Doc, like when you're first diagnosed with POTS, and it was literally a lifesaver. So people who create stuff like that, thank you, because it helps so much because you're so overwhelmed and you're just almost paralyzed and you don't know what to do, but you have this layout and it's so helpful. Is that on, is that linked on your Instagram? Like how do people see that?
It's linked. I have it like my link tree on Instagram and TikTok, but it's also in like my highlights. I have a highlight that says resources. And so it's like linked on there too. I need to make more, I think because, you know, I've been diagnosed with a lot of these things for like quite a while. I'm like almost desensitized and I forget how overwhelming it can be.
Yeah.
So I need to make more for stuff like, you know, POTS or other things because it's a really nice refresher to like remember how helpful stuff like that can be. So.
Absolutely. That's, I mean, you've already helped me so much. I have learned so much in the course of, how long has this been? 45 minutes? No, it's so great. It's been so great getting to know you and learn about you. Yeah. I knew about you, but I didn't know all this. I didn't know that you sew while you camp with a sewing machine. I'm like picturing that in my head and it's so funny.
I'll have to send you the picture because I have a picture of it and it is.
Oh my gosh. So before we go, your small business, do you have stuff in stock? Can, once people listen to this, is there stuff they can check out?
Yes, I do have stuff in stock. I'm trying to get more stuff, especially like with the holidays coming up. But I do have a lot of stuff in stock. So I'm on Etsy, and it's Etsy number 2 bags, but like number like N-O and then 2, you know?
Okay.
Sorry, did I say Etsy number 2 bags? That is not what I meant to say. I'm going to say Omi. Omi number 2 bags. Oh my gosh. Omi number 2 bags. And on Instagram, Omi bags official. So those are my two little.
You're so awesome. Seriously.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was really fun. And thanks for letting me like yap about all these things. I'm sure I just like kept going on and on and on.
No, we love a yapper here. I mean, it is a podcast, so we need someone to talk.
True.
But no, it was truly a pleasure. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your night.
Thank you. You too. Yeah. Many spoons to you.
Yes.
Many spoons to everybody listening. Well. Spoons to everybody.
All right, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for sticking around through this incredibly high quality production. As promised, here's your low quality outro. We'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode. I'll be joined by Emily Von Weiss, who works for Quell That Help. We'll dive into her experience with chronic illness and talk about some of the major things she's been a part of at Quell That. Trust me, you won't want to miss it. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and share this episode with someone who might need to hear it. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.